I've had some failures when it came to like legit mental health. You know, I let stuff weigh me down, weigh me down, weigh me down. I let stuff affect me that shouldn't. And we as entrepreneurs all do that because we equate our personal success with our business success. You know, we tell everybody, hey, I'm an entrepreneur. This is my business. If that business fails, I'm a failure. Right. So we take everything personally. We put too much pressure on ourselves and we drive ourselves insane. And for me, that ended up leading to a bout of clinical depression and anxiety.
You're listening to the Ecom Exits Podcast with your host, Nate Ginsberg. Learn the best tips and tactics to improve profits, cash flow, and maximize your e-commerce business value on the way to a successful exit. Welcome to the show.
Hello and welcome back, podcast listeners. Joined today by my friend, Tim Jordan, founder of Private Label Legion, also a seven-figure FBA seller, chief growth officer at Seller Funding. This guy, really great guy, also host of the AMPM podcast.
Completely forgot.
So many, involved in so much cool stuff, really excited to get to dive into it more. And yeah, we had the chance to hang out. We were both speaking at an event about a year ago in Bangkok, which was awesome event, so much fun, put on by the Affiliate World guys called Sellers World. And yeah, here we are. I am currently still in Thailand, though that wasn't the original plan. And Tim is dialing in from good old Alabama. And yeah, well, let's get into it. Tim, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. And since I so rudely interrupted you, you now have permission to interrupt me at any time during this interview.
Noted. Bad attempt at trying to cut you off. So, all right, Tim, man, you're involved in so much stuff. I have a lot that I'm really excited to dive into. Like, take us back to the beginning. How did you get started? Where did your, you know, entrepreneurial career and selling online, yeah, like, where did it start?
Yeah, so I was a terrible student. I was horrible in college, hated it, studied business, but never thought I'd actually end up in it because I assumed that would mean a corporate, you know, sitting in a cubicle job. So out of college, I actually joined the fire department and I started working as a full-time firefighter and medic and loved it. It was awesome. You know, obviously some rough days, some boring days, but overall it was good. But that entrepreneurial bug that I had just kept like tickling at the back of my mind, right? So as a firefighter, we'd work on 24 hours, then off for 48, which means generally have like 5 days a week off. So we all have side hustles. So I started a little construction company and I had a masonry company and I started a company flipping old muscle cars. So I was buying muscle cars and restoring them. Had all sorts of stuff going on, but I ended up working a little bit with a buddy of mine who was in government procurement and logistics, right? So have you ever seen that movie War Dog where those guys are like selling guns to the government? That was me, but not weapons. So they were doing the weapons, but I was doing like Russian dump truck tires, diesel power generators, like bomb-proof doors, like anything non-military, but everything that supported the infrastructure over there. So that got me involved with these global logistics, which started learning and sourcing. And one day I'm looking at a wholesale catalog for oil filters of all things. And I'm like, man, you know, surely there's somewhere cheaper to get these than these $3 I'm paying for these big diesel engine oil filters. So I just Googled it and saw online they were selling for like 30. What in the world? So I actually posted a Craigslist ad for someone to teach me how to sell on eBay because I didn't even know you could sell on Amazon. So it was literally, hey, I have some wholesale, you know, catalogs. I want to try to flip this stuff on eBay. Who can teach me? Looking for a consultant. I expect like a college kid to show up. The 65-year-old bald guy shows up, looks at my catalogs of stuff I get, like the best pricing in the world. And he's like, yeah, you need to sell on Amazon. So we hit our first million in like 3 months.
Oh, wow.
At high margins. And then I immediately knew we had to get into private label. So because I already had sourcing background, you know, I started calling up my contacts in China, started buying stuff. It's like 2015. And in the first 7 months, we had our first million just in private label sales, all at high margin. I thought, man, this is amazing. What a great side job. Stuff started escalating. People wanted me to source their stuff. People wanted me to ship their stuff with my stuff. So I ended up starting a company called Hickory Flats where we did sourcing, shipping, inspections, and we had 3PO warehouses here in the US. And I pretty much ran that into the ground, right? It was a terrible business model because then about 2017, 2018, every Facebook group is full of Chinese freight forwarders, you know, so your margins start decreasing and the complexity was getting bad. And I spent 90% of my time just educating people on how to ship something who were never make a shipment, right? So for me, it was just a bad business model. But that got me involved in an opportunity to see what other people are doing. Because I have this warehouse floor that all these people's products are coming across the dock. And I see what's moving and what's not. And I see what packaging works and what doesn't. And like I just started learning, right? But with advertising Hickory Flats, I started going to some conferences. I started sponsoring some events, you know, just trying to get the word out about it. And what I later found out was that I'm terrible at running a logistics and sourcing company, but I'm really good at networking. So when I kind of stopped that whole physical operations of that business, I translated it or transitioned it just into education. So I started a group coaching program, mastermind. I've got the online community, private label Legion, all that good stuff, just from my experience selling and working with these other sellers and the connections. And as that progressed, I realized, hey, I know a lot of people. And a lot of people started coming to me and say, hey, Tim, you know a lot of people. Can we pay you for your advice? I thought, what in the world? So about 2 years ago, I started officially doing consulting for some companies in the space. Some are really well known, some are not so well known, but I pretty much just started like this business development journey with connecting service providers with their audiences and figuring out how to develop their product and setting up joint ventures between different companies. So one of those consultancies actually turned into an executive role with Sellers Funding, which is today, the day right now, today, we have announced that Sellers Funding just expanded into full functionality in Canada, the UK, and the EU. We've been helping customers for like 200 different countries, but this means that we can actually have a legal presence in those countries to do some cool stuff. So imagine a combination of Cabbage, OnDeck, Payoneer, Payability, and TransferWise all rolled into one tech platform. So we can lend multi-millions of dollars, we can do daily payouts, and we can transfer in like 37 currencies to over 200 countries. And wow, that was because I came in and they had this great tech platform built, but I said, hey, you don't understand what Amazon sellers actually need. Let's adjust the product. Let's start working on partnerships. And I sealed a deal. It's a huge partnership between them and Helium 10, for example. So if you're familiar with Helium 10, you look at, they have this whole product deck called Alta, which is a financial services. It's the white labeled sellers funding. And it was the first partnership that Helium 10 ever did. And Helium 10 is by far the largest software company in the Amazon space. So I figured all this out by accident. And now I'm kind of taking advantage of the fact that what I didn't realize I was good at, which is the connections to business development, are now my most valuable asset. So I'm still selling. I still have my coaching community, and I'm also working with some of the biggest and best, brightest companies in the space. So I get like this 360 view of the whole ecosystem. So it's pretty cool.
Man, dude, what a awesome story. And going from a firefighter, which I have some friends that are as well, and I'm aware of the, I mean, crazy schedule, but also seems like they seem to enjoy it. But yeah, more restricting than having online businesses and selling in. And that's a super cool story. And so where you're kind of focused these days, I mean, you're involved in a bunch of these different things. Like, where are you spending the most time, and what's like most exciting for you?
Oh man, it depends on what day you ask me, because I've always got a to-do list that's never getting done, right? So every day it's just putting out fires. What excites me may be stuff that I haven't even talked about that's coming up. In Q1, we're doing a huge Indiegogo launch of a patented product that I've invented, essentially, that we're hoping is going to be at least $500,000 launch in Indiegogo. I'm super excited about that. And I've been collaborating with industry leaders for helping me turn that into a case study, which will be a free case study. Sure. Sellers Funding is doing some crazy stuff. You know, I was never in finance. I'm terrible with my own personal finances. Like I don't even know how much money's in my bank account right now. It's terrible. I don't balance my checkbook. But getting to work with a global fintech company that is making ridiculous moves in the industry gives me an idea into like this whole world out there that I didn't know. I just brought in a partner with my coaching group, a guy named Norm Farrar, who is like one of the OGs in the space. He's got the greatest beard in the entire space, but he's also been selling online since like 1995. And he is actually closing down his mastermind coaching program and partnering with me. So that's going to be really cool, because I think that's going to give us something unique in the space. I don't know, man. There's a lot to talk about. Coming into 2021, I think e-commerce is just going to continue to be ridiculous. So selling myself is really, really cool. You know, a lot of people think that, oh, when coronavirus is over, not as many people will shop online. I don't think that's true. I think that people that were not shopping online previously have now realized how convenient it is, right? And the adoption rate of online shopping is going to continue to be high. And at the same time, Amazon and other marketplaces continue to make it harder to sell on them, which is great, because that means all these, you know, jackholes that are doing all this black hat stuff to you know, compete with me, that the barriers to entry are becoming higher, which is going to leave a better position for those of us that are legitimately building brands and selling stuff, you know, the right way, quote unquote. So I'm excited about that too, because 2021 is going to be a great year.
Yeah, man, a lot of good stuff. And I definitely share your sentiment about just e-commerce in general and how I think, you know, coronavirus was like, this was a trend that was happening already. And this just, you know, has been a catalyst for accelerating the trend. And it's not once somebody starts buying things online and they see how easy it is, like many of them are going to continue to do that, you know, even if they weren't doing that before. And so yeah, I totally agree that it's, you know, accelerated adoption of e-commerce. So yeah, would love to chat a little bit more. I mean, we talked a little bit before recording, but I'm just super personally interested. It sounds like you're doing some really cool stuff on like the biz dev consulting side. And how did you kind of first get into that? I mean, I know you have a lot of connections and have a lot of relationships. And then at some point that turned into like a thing that you're doing, you know, professionally. And so like, what, you know, what did that look like?
So it actually happened by accident. I had a phone call one day and well, let me back up and say this. I've had friends in the industry that always hit me up. You know, I'm good friends with Manny Coates, the founder of Healing 10. Man, he'd always call me, run ideas by me. We would just riff on stuff, but they were never paying me. I never had an official relationship with them. I just had friends in the space, you know, friends in all sorts of different businesses. And one day I got a call from a company I'd never heard of. And it's a service company coming in the market. And they basically pitched me to be an affiliate for them. So on this 30-minute call, they give me the pitch and I just tore it up. I said, all right, guys, listen, one, you haven't researched the fact that I'm not a good affiliate. Like, look at all my stuff. I don't have affiliate links dropped everywhere. I don't have a huge consolidated audience. Like, I'm not a good avatar for an affiliate seller. Here's what you look for. Go to this. Plus, your sales pitch is all wrong. You don't understand that I'm based in the U.S., so your service has no value to my audience, which is based in the U.S., selling in the U.S. And I just tore apart their whole system. And the guy was talking to me. He said, he's a business development guy. He said, man, I've been cold calling people for 2 months. And I'm always told no, but nobody told me why. I said, well, here's why. Your product sucks. Your service sucks. Your offer sucks. Like, and your list sucks. It's like, man. So he got off the phone and like 2 weeks later, he called me back. 2 weeks after they called me back. And I would just spend a few minutes just giving him ideas. Well, I met his CEO at IRCE show in Chicago a couple of years ago. She said, hey, let me take you to dinner. I said, okay, free dinner, no problem. So we go to have a steak dinner. She said, I've heard all these ideas. I said, yeah. She said, why'd you give me those ideas? I said, I don't know. I just share my ideas. She said, well, would you give us more ideas and can we pay you? And I said, I mean, I guess I've never really thought about it. What would this look like? She's like, well, it's called a consultant. I was like, oh, the mystical world of consulting. And they made me an offer that was, well, I don't work with them anymore, so I can say it was a 6-figure a year offer with no time requirements. Like it was, they were massively overpaying me really, but it was like, hey, just drop us some ideas. And if we can send you a text message every once in a while, and maybe once a week or once every couple weeks, if you could just jump on a quick call with us. I was like, great. So I came in and I upset the industry with them. I did some really big stuff just in the first 3 months, you know, directed them. And all these people were like, where did this company come from? How did they pull this off? And they just said, well, this Tim guy. And then I had all these other companies come to me. Well, then I had companies I've known for a while, like come to me and say, hey, we didn't know you were for hire. I was like, well, I've been giving you free advice for 2 years. And they're like, yeah, but if we pay you, we'll feel better about asking for more advice. I was like, well, by God, if you want to pay me, great. So then I'm getting paid literally to do what I've been doing, which is just making connections, being creative, trying to be a visionary and a chief strategist. And all of that just kept feeding like that, you know, the Jeff Bezos flywheel. Like once you pump a little bit in, you're able to push more out. So it's just cycled and cycled and cycled. And now I've gotten involved in all this crazy high level stuff that 3 years ago, man, I would have told you were crazy if you said I'd be doing some of this stuff. And I'm probably completely underqualified for it, but I BS my way through it well enough that they keep me around.
Yeah, well, dude, first, amazing. And there's some stuff that I want to dive into more, but I would definitely push back on the whole underqualified part. And I think these are things that like, I mean, you're clearly, I mean, you know, connections matter, intros matter, positioning, you know, all this stuff. And like maybe that first consulting gig, whatever, might've been overpaid or they, you know, they, I don't know how they come up with their proposals or whatever, but like clearly, I mean, a ton of value there. And what I love most about it is like some of the ideas that are really, I mean, core to my life business philosophy is like, we should all do the things that we enjoy and we're best at and are fun and easy and give us energy and, you know, get the other stuff, let other people handle the other things. And it from what it sounds like, you know, you've really fallen into or created this kind of role situation where you are doing things that are fun, easy, effortless, and having amazing opportunities, providing value to others. And so, yeah, so I want to dive into that a little bit more. I mean, you clearly are a natural people person, connector, big ideas, vision. But what are some of the things that you think you're personally best at? Like if you're familiar with unique ability or superpower. Oh, man.
Everything related to emotional intelligence, right? I've never really gotten into it. And maybe this isn't the format to really bust it out, but I was fairly heavily abused as a child, right? And I've since then learned that children, especially small children that fall under that historical, you know, process or that process throughout their history, they develop keen awareness of people around them. And it's a defense mechanism, right? Am I walking in a situation? Am I in danger? How do I get out of this situation where, you know, something bad's going to happen? So maybe it was a little bit of nature, but I think it was also a lot of nurture that allowed me to read people really well. So I can walk into a room and listen to a conversation and identify very rapidly, like little nuances that people don't understand. So on a macro sense, that helps me to, for example, take that guy's phone call and instantly know your product doesn't work for my audience because I know my audience. And it's not just my audience. I instantly know every pain point that they have. Like I understand how to sell to them, how to pitch to them, right? I can look at, you know, two people on my list and say, will these guys work together? Is this a good partnership? Is this something worth me investing time in to make them come together? Because I know that they'll work well together. So you can phrase it or you can call it business development skill or partnership capabilities, but really it just all comes down to just being able to read people, right? And not just read people, you know, to set up partnerships, but also understand how to educate them, right? So I can explain things to people in very simple ways for them to understand because I can quickly adapt like, hey, this is the type of way this person likes to communicate. So whether it's in my group coaching program or explaining to investment fund operator on why this type of product or service would not be good for their portfolio. Like I don't have to use a bunch of fancy FBA jargon, but I can like quickly figure out how do I put it in their terms. So I guess my one superpower is I just know how to, again, like I said earlier, BS, you know, BS my way through. Like I can figure people out. I can figure out exactly how to communicate things. And I have a pretty good gut instinct and intuition about people.
Yeah, man. I mean, amazing story and how, I mean, we all have our journey and everything that happened in our life that creates where we are now. And so a question on the, you know, this EQ and you know, this sense for pairing people and understanding matches or, you know, not fits is this something like, is this more of a, like an intuitive feeling that you just kind of get where it's like, oh, okay, like this isn't going to work. And, or is it like, you know, kind of more, here's the three reasons why this and that, or is it more of a feeling, or does it start as one as well as the other? Or like,
it's a little bit of both. Like sometimes it's a little gut instinct, little intuition, and other times it's pure logic. I know that sounds weird, but like I can take emotion out of something and determine, is this good or is this bad? Right. Sometimes I'm not an advocate for the people I work with. And I've had people like, hey, Tim, you're like, you're supposed to be on our side. And I'll say, well, yeah, I'm on your side, but that doesn't mean I always say what you want to, meaning I can take my emotional love, like just to kind of use it in perspective, like a product. Like we get so emotionally involved in our own products and we think, oh, we've got the best products, I should love our product, why aren't they buying them? We're not looking at it logically saying maybe our product sucks, you know? So with relationships, with partnerships, with business development, I can do both. I can use my gut instinct, but I can also remove myself emotionally and look at it very logically, even if it's not the answer that I want to find, right? So I combine that like completely unbiased, unemotional logic with this very emotional, like gut instinct. The first answer is usually correct. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. No. And I mean, I think that's like best decisions are made as a combination of, you know, thinking and feeling. And I don't know if you're into much like personality tests or personality type or NLP kind of stuff, but I think like, I mean, just think that you and I are probably similar of both. Like if you know, Myers-Briggs, ENFP, and with that, it's like, you know, similar outgoing people person, you know, very intuitive feeling. And I know for me personally, like I'm definitely, I have that intuitive feeling is really strong, but also, you know, need to have that critical analytical being able to like remove yourself, you know, take the emotion out of it and like look at things objectively in order to make the best decisions for you, you know, as well as other people. So question, you mentioned a little bit ago about a lot of your day of putting out fires. What does that mean? You know, what kind of stuff? I mean, if you've got this one area of the connections and the, you know, big picture and vision, that's all great and ease and effortless. Like what are those things that, yeah, you mentioned are still the fires or some of the challenges?
Well, you know, when you're involved in a lot of stuff and you have to make decisions, challenges are going to come at you that aren't my fault. They aren't expected, right? Mm-hmm. Those are, hey, we have a problem we need to mitigate. But a lot of my fires are actually due to my own weaknesses. I read this book. Here it is. If they ever use this video, this is it. It's called Rocket Fuel.
Oh, right? Classic.
Classic. Mm-hmm. And it helps you identify the difference between a visionary and an integrator, right? Mm-hmm. So my strength is I'm a visionary.
Yeah. Love this concept. I mean, I've
yeah.
traction and whatever the other one is, yep. the narrative.
So I'm like 95% visionary, which means I'm like 5% integrator. So my problem is I get myself involved in all this stuff that I actually have to get work done. I have to do things, but I'm so disorganized and I'm so hard to keep focused. I can't just sit in front of my computer for 6 hours working on something. So I develop all these opportunities and I commit to all this stuff. And I tell people I'm going to do this, 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 this. And then I wake up the next morning, I'm like, oh crap, I have so much stuff to do, right? Mm-hmm. So I'll start early in the morning, I'll start working, I'll get a couple hours of work done, then I'll get a phone call that'll distract me. And then I have a meeting in me, and at the end of the day, I go, oh crap, I did not get any of that done. I'll do it tomorrow, right? Mm-hmm. So a lot of the fires I'm putting out is just trying to keep up with the execution of the opportunities everything. That I've developed. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like I am my own worst enemy because I just keep coming up with crap to do before I get mm-hmm. caught up with the old stuff.
Yeah. So Rocket Fuel and Traction and, you know, all those books have also had a big impact on me. And I'm a huge, you know, like you, huge visionary, very weak integrator, you know, and, yep. and, you know, I mean, yeah. And again, like we talked about before, I think that you, me, everyone, we should do the stuff that we're best at and, you know, get other people to handle the other things. And so do you have an integrator or a kind of COO type person that yep. you could get this?
Yeah. So with all the different roles I have in life, I have integrators. So like I have a lady named Nicole who works for me in a few different businesses. And she is like my right hand. Like she whips my butt when it needs to be whipped. She keeps me on track. She helps integrate. When it comes to like my role with sellers funding, I have integrators there and I'm actually about to hire three more that are just going to be project managers where I can literally sit down in 5 minutes, say, I know this is what has to happen. Go do it. And if you have a problem, come to me and I'll figure it out, right? Like it's the perfect role. And then of course I have like my wife is my integrator at home because I'd never get anything done if it wasn't her. So in every like different avenue of my life, professionally or not, like I have somebody that I can tell you, hey, they're the one that actually gets this stuff done and keeps things on track.
Well, question, potential challenge for you. I mean, you mentioned having this never-ending to-do list. Like, do you think there would be people that you could get into place to help manage, handle? I mean, it seems like you've got a lot of amazing things on your plate and that, you know, you have your role in there, but like, do you think you could, or why haven't you gotten other people to handle more of that?
Because I'm also terrible at delegating. Right. And it's not like I don't trust somebody to do it. Cause I do. It's, I am so disorganized. I can't even delegate. Right. Like I'm going to show you something here, Nate. And those of you listening to audio, let me describe what I have in my hand. I'm holding a leather portfolio. And as I open it up, Nate, what, this is not like rehearsed. What do you see here? Just describe what you're seeing.
I see lots of scribbles.
Yeah. So I'm holding up a stack of papers that is nothing but to-do lists and ideas. And I've got papers that are upside down. I got weird highlighter stuff going on. Like this is like just pieces and parts. So I literally in my notebook have 40 pieces of paper with things I have to get done. So when I think about like, oh, just hiring an integrator, one is I have so many different, it's all mixed up because I have different businesses. So, you know, I can't mix it up, but then also it's going to take me a year just to organize my to-do list to pass it on to somebody else, right? Or at least that's what I tell myself.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think there's some truth to that. And it's like, you know, and this is something like I've actually, I mean, very familiar, you know, I mean, this isn't quite common thing for people where, you know, you're too busy to like do the things that then are going to make you less busy. That's just like an area. I mean, I think like, you know, I don't know, we all have our strengths or experience and, you know, from our career and like one thing that I've through whatever course of my career, I've really like, I'm a great delegator and you know, it like certainly has its.
Do you offer consulting services?
I mean, maybe, you know, I don't know, like haven't really thought about it like that, but that's something that like, I mean, you know, it's interesting looking back on all of our journeys and, you know, for me, I sold a business a couple years ago and like after that happened, it really changed my filter of just like the things that I will do and that I won't do. And And, you know, that as well as I'd like to consider myself ambitiously lazy and want to do big things, you know, work hard, but like, I have such a low tolerance for, you know, and I believe this is for everyone, for me, you, all of us, for like doing the things that we don't want to do. And, you know, that, and I've always, I guess, yeah, I got into delegating early. Anyway, yeah, that stuff's kind of my jam. Maybe we can have another conversation about that some other time. But yeah, so next question, I'm curious of like, you know, you're involved in all this really cool stuff. Like if you could fast forward like a couple of years, like what does business situation, all this kind of look like? Like what is, yeah, like what does the future have in store?
I don't know, except that I suspect it will be very different than what it is now. Right. And it's not because I don't love where I'm at. I don't love what I'm doing. But I know that the world is moving so fast around us, right? Especially in the e-commerce space. The entire industry of e-commerce, like the entire ecosystem, is up 40% from this time last year. Do you realize how big that is? Like most industries move by fractions of a percent over a decade. We're at 40% in 1 year. So I think it would be a fallacy. And I think it'd be a little egotistical to try to anticipate where I'm going to be in 2 years because I'm so far removed from where I was 2 years ago. Right? Like, I just know things are going to change every 6 weeks. I go, oh my gosh, look how much this changed. Look how different this was than I expected. I suspect that 2 years from now, I'll still have the same problem of not being very well organized. I suspect that I'll still be coming up with crazy big ideas that hopefully other people can execute. And I just hope to keep surrounding myself with new people, new relationships, new mentors, new influences in my life, and essentially just kind of keep doing the same thing that I'm doing now, maybe just in a different context. So we'll see.
Well, very, very cool. Okay. So we talk about forward. I want to go, you know, back again into earlier in your journey. And so were there any like biggest mistakes or, you know, challenges that happened that then forced you to, you know, learn or grow or something? I think our challenges are our biggest also opportunities for learning and growth. And yeah, you know, maybe any stories of stuff that didn't go as planned and then, you know, led you to some benefit now.
Yeah, man, so many. I don't even know where to begin. You know, thinking about immediately the failures, I think about products. You know, in my coaching community, this is a common theme, is people get very disappointed, very discouraged when things don't go 100% right. And I have to tell them, like, hey, this is what's supposed to happen. Like, you're supposed to screw up. You're supposed to figure something out later. You're supposed to make a mistake. This screw up, quote unquote, is not a screw up. It's just a lesson on how to not screw it up next time. You know what I mean? Like, what's the classic example? Thomas Edison had to create like 1,000 light bulbs before he got the first one right. Well, that didn't mean it was 999 failures. It meant there was 999 steps to getting it right. So for me, I had a lot of failed products. I would launch Me Too products. I would launch stuff that was infringing on patents. I would launch stuff that was too difficult to produce. You know, I went on this mission to start producing most of my stuff in Central America. Like, it sounds great. Logistically, it's extremely difficult. So all of those ventures and a lot of those products turn into massive failures on a kind of granular level. But in a macro sense, they led me to like these realizations, you know, these things that have kind of changed the way I sell on Amazon. You don't sell products, you sell keywords, you know, like that whole philosophy and that mentality and that truth. So yeah, as far as products, there's a lot of those. From a business development phase or if it's just my own personal development in business phase, there's a lot of mistakes I made, like, you know, not vetting partners. I've had business partners that have blown up in my face and been just cataclysmic to me, you know, emotionally even, and to my ability to like get out there and do good business. And looking back now, I learned a lot of lessons from those. Follow your gut instinct. Don't try to rely too much on other people because we can probably get more stuff done than we realize. How to resolve conflict and how to openly communicate with people, you know, even if it's not something you want to communicate, you know, those lessons are all important. I've learned a lot about how to balance personal time and work life because I failed at that for a long time. You know, I thought, hey, if I'm going to be successful at business, I have to focus on business all the time. And what I do is, and we've all done it, but, you know, I'll go 9 months, just balls to the wall, and then you burn out. And for 3 months, you're worthless and you lose all that traction or most of that traction you had. So like, it was a mistake for me coming into this, like the Gary Vaynerchuk, you know, mentality of like, you know, go big or go home. You can't stop, keep going. So now I do crazy stuff. Like I put my phone on airplane mode every night when I sleep. It's crazy, right? Like, and it's not because, you know, I can silence it during the night, but it's because in the morning when you wake up and you reach over and grab your phone, there's 800 notifications. You immediately are in full blown panic mode. So now I go take dump, I drink coffee, I take my shower, I get dressed, then I sit down and calmly turn my phone off airplane mode, right? Like that helps me. I've had some failures when it came to like legit mental health. You know, I let stuff weigh me down. I let stuff affect me that shouldn't. And we as entrepreneurs all do that because we equate our personal success with our business success, or invert that, our business success with our personal success. You know, we tell everybody, hey, I'm an entrepreneur. This is my business. If that business fails, I'm a failure. Right. So we take everything personally. We put too much pressure on ourselves and we drive ourselves insane. And for me, that ended up leading to a bout of clinical depression and anxiety. And I'm one of those guys that grew up like, oh, if you're depressed, just quit being sad. If you're anxious, just quit worrying about stuff, you know? And then like I went through a phase, it's pretty recent, like last year, where I went 7 nights without sleeping. I would lay in bed and stare at the ceiling, just couldn't sleep. Something's wrong in my brain. My wife was like, go to the doctor, you idiot. I go to the doctor. He's like, congratulations, you have clinical anxiety. I'm like, crap. So I, you know, went on meds for that. And I thought, well, you know, I don't want to be like this medicated guy the rest of my life. I have to take pills, go to sleep. So I started a journey of like self-exploration. And that's when I realized like this fallacy that we entrepreneurs have, which is equating our business success with personal success. And it's common. That's why like such a huge percentage of business owners and entrepreneurs have mental health issues that we never talk about, on top of this ego that we have. So we don't want to talk about it or get help or even recognize it. Right. So that was a failure of mine, was not paying attention to that. But that led to this great eye-opening experience where not only can I avoid that and handle those situations better in my life, but now I can coach other people to do that. And I have friends constantly that I call up and I'm like, hey man, this is going to be a really weird conversation, but here's something I've noticed about you that I think may be true, you know, like little intervention. So yeah, I don't know even how many that was. I just rattled off a bunch, but failures that led to good things.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I totally agree. And, you know, similar journeys of like, you know, I think as entrepreneurs, stereotypically, like high achievers hold ourselves to high expectations. The good side of that is like driven, results oriented, make things happen. But yeah, but on the other side of that is like, it can get tough in there. Always, you know, whether it's worried or anxious or, you know, should be doing more or not, where you kind of like this classic, I don't know if you spend much time with like Dan Sullivan kind of content or strategic coach stuff, which he's got some really cool concepts, but this idea of like how other people see you and, you know, your journey, and they look, oh wow, that guy, he's so successful, but your head, you're like, oh, but like I know this other guy who's like way more successful than I am. So like, you don't, you know, other people see you as this big success, but you yourself don't, because you're comparing yourself to the other people. And yeah, you know, it's so important to kind of flip that or, you know, kind of get more control of that. You mentioned a couple of times, like really, you know, a lot of this, like, you know, personal growth, and curious to kind of dive into some of that more, like what, you know, were there any books or people or things that like had a big impact on you that were able to help you grow in this way? And just a quick, you know, side note, this is an area that I've spent a lot of time with personally. I mean, you know, all the psychology books and trauma and a lot, especially recently, like mindfulness, and really into Michael Singer. And I mean, can go on and on about his books and Untethered Soul. And yeah, so this is like a very close to me personally. And so, yeah, I would love to hear more on your journey. Like what has been useful for you?
To be honest, I read a lot of books and I read a lot of books about business, but I don't read a lot of books on, I guess you could call it self-help or awareness or things like that. Mostly it's just people. Mostly it's friends. And when I started opening up about some of the issues that I've had or some of the struggles that I've had people come to me and say, hey, let me tell you about the lessons I've learned, right? And those communications, those personal communications became very valuable to me. Little things like people just absolutely convincing me, hey, Tim, like, you're cool. Like, we like you. Like, you're a neat dude, whether or not this business fails or not. And like, when I started offloading this pressure that I was putting on myself based on what I thought other people were putting on me, that massively helped, right? Also, I started listening to a lot of people, and there were some podcast stuff I listened to that just talks about not being a perfectionist. I suck at organization, but if I sit around all day eating myself up, worrying about getting better organized, like I could spend that time actually doing something productive, right? So now, you know, I always want to improve myself, and there's things I always want to get better at, but I've definitely come to grips of like, hey, there are some things I'm just never going to be good at. Outsource it or just suck at it, you know, take it or leave it, and walk away. And that's like removed a giant weight off my shoulders for sure, which allowed me to focus on the things that I need to be focusing on. And I have some close friends and mentors in my life that will call me out on something. You know what I mean? Like, hey, Tim, it looks like you are struggling with this. Hey, Tim, you need to ease up on this. Hey, Tim, you got a big head about this, you know, don't be a peckerhead. And those relationships have really helped me to grow personally for sure.
Yeah. man, I mean, that's, I mean, amazing to hear the growth that you've had in this area. And, you know, and again, just as someone who's like been on this journey and, you know, quite seriously, I don't know, whatever that means, like I took my personal mental well-being like very seriously. And I mean, I think it's, you know, it's like, that's what is in most like pragmatically is the most direct impact of like our experience. Like, I don't know what your goals are or other people's goals, but like, I want to be happy, you know, that's maybe more than anything, you know, happy, content, fulfilled, you know, not anxious, not worrying. And the way to actually achieve that, it's, you know, it's not the outside, oh, my business needs to be this or this, that. It's really like, it's yeah, you know, going in and kind of working through some of these things. And you know, I've gone, I mean, yeah, I consume a lot of content, and like, that's one of the buckets that I, you know, cycle through. And yeah, can give you some recs if you're interested, but has been,
yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I'll just the one that I'm super into now, which I don't know if you're familiar with Michael Singer or like The Untethered Soul or his other books, The Surrender Experiment. Have you heard of his stuff or?
No, but I'm writing it down.
Yeah, dude. I mean, so this guy, I mean, he's the man. I've been literally listening to some of his stuff, like almost every day. He's like an incredible lecturer, and his story, I think it resonates with me a lot. And I think with other entrepreneurs, because this guy, he actually, you know, this wasn't his original plan, but he, you know, in his words, surrendered his way to founding and becoming CEO of a 9-figure publicly listed software business. And, you know, this was all through his, at the same time, you know, parallel or this, like, not at all separate of this journey of him founding this, you know, huge public company, you know, also was still on this like self-development mindfulness path. And you know, so he, and this guy, like he's a computer scientist, very smart, logical, you know, every, like the way he explains things to me, like it makes sense. And I think it clicks with other entrepreneurs as well that are like pragmatic and want to see results and like very logical. And I'm a big fan, been super impactful for me. So, but yeah, let's see. Other than, man, this has been awesome chat, I guess. Any other advice or things, like, you know, for any listeners, you know, I think we've touched on a lot of great topics, from, you know, doing things that you love and finding your way into these cool situations where you're able to add value and connecting people, and, you know, and also got into some of this personal development stuff and mistakes people make. Like, what advice would, you know, if you had to distill something, you're on the platform, like, speak to the people. Yeah.
Well, I would just tell people not to, you know, miss out opportunities because they're convinced that, you know, they have to follow one path. We as entrepreneurs, we get so emotionally attached to what we're doing. And a lot of times we don't realize that our entrepreneur selves are opening up other opportunities that are going to be better. The shipping logistics company, man, I drove that sucker into the ground. I should have given it up a year before and just walked away, right? Right now I'm having more fun in this consulting for businesses, where 3 years ago I would have said, man, all I want to do is sell products, right? I see so many people in this space that, yeah, maybe they sucked at product launching, or they suck at listing optimization, or they suck at PPC, but they're really good at something else. Like, just remember that your entrepreneurial journey in e-commerce isn't necessarily selling a product. Maybe it's just being involved in the industry. A good buddy of mine, Carl Jacoby, he started off as a seller. He couldn't ever scale really, but he started a 3PL that's grown like 1,000% in the past 9 months. Like, that's his jam. He knows what to do there, right? I know another guy, it's a huge arbitrage seller, and he kept his margins up because he used spaghetti maps and drew out efficiency models for the way that they bundled packages. And he figured out that for every 12 seconds they could reduce, it saves them X amount of money and increase their margins. Now they're consulting for other people, telling them, you know, hey, here's how you set up your shipping room. So just keep in mind that, like, when you run across your first product launch and it sucks, or you're researching the crap out of this and you can't find a product to sell, or whatever it is, just realize that your definition, or how you're going to judge yourself on pass or fail, whether this is a success or not into the world of e-commerce, doesn't necessarily mean you sold that product. It just, it's going to be judged based on how you perform within the entire ecosystem of e-commerce. Does that make sense? So everything that you do that may seem frustrating, you're hitting a brick wall, you're just gaining experience, you're gaining knowledge, and there are other opportunities swirling around you. Don't be afraid to pivot and do that. You know, there's people that sucked on Amazon, but they're doing amazing on eBay. You know, there's people that were terrible at selling on Amazon, but they're fantastic funnel builders and digital marketers. You know, there's just a lot of opportunities out there.
Yeah, man, love that. And yeah, I think to kind of distill that, it's the most important thing as entrepreneurs. It's like, you know, we take those steps forward and move forward in a direction. And the thing that people need to realize is not have the blinders on. I mean, and yes, you know, you have goals and move towards them, but like, you know, you gotta be aware of what's going on around you and how things are changing, which yeah, it's like maybe the one opportunity fails, whatever that means, but that could open up this, you know, amazing situation, opportunity. Yeah. Great advice. Super, super good. And man, dude, this has been a blast. So glad we did this. This is like really, really good chat. I know the listeners are going to enjoy it a lot as well. And yeah, to kind of wrap things up, where can people find out more about you? I mean, I know you're involved in a ton of different stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. You can find me on social media. You can check me out. You can either Facebook search or even go to the website, Private Label Legion. Lots of new content, lots of community there, Facebook groups, stuff like that. And then from there, you can track me around to other stuff I'm doing, whether it's other projects or the content. Follow me on the AMPM podcast. It used to be about selling on Amazon when Mandy Coates started it. And now that it's transitioned to me, we just talk about entrepreneurial stuff in general. And some of the guests I have on are absolutely amazing. So AMPM podcast. And yeah, I guess those are the two big ones.
All right. Well, that's awesome. We'll definitely have the links so listeners can easily find it. And man, dude, again, thanks for coming on. Such a blast. Really enjoyed this. And I know the listeners are as well.
Great. Well, thank you for having me on and hope everybody has a great rest of the Q4 and a great 2021.
Cheers.
This has been the Ecom Exits podcast with Nate Ginsberg. If you're enjoying the Ecom Exits podcast, show your support by subscribing, rating, and reviewing this podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. This will help other smart entrepreneurs find us. We appreciate your support. We have a new episode every week on the Ecom Exits podcast, so catch you next time.